Sir John, some people could say that US healthcare benefits and comparing them with healthcare overseas is a bit like comparing apples and oranges.
Well, you hear that a lot, actually. Canada has nothing to do with us. Germany, forget about it.
So today, as we wrap up our week-long series of healthcare roundtables, we wanted to talk to Americans living abroad to see how their healthcare is different.
That's a good idea.
So joining us, we have Christina Geyer. She's in Bavaria, Germany, where she's lived since 2002. Morning to you again, Christina.
Good morning.
Hello to Lynn Udalouf. She's on the line from Moscow, and you've been there for 10 years, Lynn, right?
Oh, 11 now, I guess. Yes, good morning.
Good morning to you. And hello, finally, to Amanda Graham. You're joining us from County Derry, Northern Ireland. And Northern Ireland, I have to remind our audience, is part of the United Kingdom. So you're really looking at socialized medicine, aren't you, Amanda?
Yes, good morning. That's correct.
Hello to you all. So I moved overseas a number of times, and I know that, like me, you must have been worried about healthcare. What was it like getting to grips with healthcare in your new country? So, Lynn, 11 years in Moscow, think back 11 years. What was that first couple of months like, trying to work out where your healthcare was coming from?
Well, I would say I wasn't prepared for my first excursions to clinics because I didn't have young family. But as the years passed, I realized how important it was to have good quality care for my children and, of course, myself, as I had prenatal work done. And it was really, really then, probably within a year or two of my moving here, that I understood how different the two systems are.
Amanda Graham, you're in County Derry in Northern Ireland. Now, the UK health system has been slammed here in the United States. So what was your first experience of it like?
Well, it was a little bit of a culture shock at first. It was quite an easy transition. The first appointment that we made was for a new patient appointment. And the only reason why we had to wait about a week is because we decided to book all of the family together. So, I mean, I can't really complain. It was just like going to a family practice at home. We were seen on time. The doctor was very personable. The care was adequate. We were given prescriptions and referrals to specialists that were made within a month's time because they were non-urgent issues.
Christina Geyer, you're in Bavaria, Germany. Welcome back to the conversation. When you first went to Germany, what was your first impression of healthcare?
Well, my first experience with healthcare was looking at my paycheck and seeing that 7% of my pay and 7% of the employer's contribution had gone to healthcare. And that was pretty shocking. But as I went through the system and like the other person said, when I got a family, I realized that it's worth it to have all this health care and that paying for everybody makes society better.
So you're being taxed for everybody else's health care. What do you get for that?
I don't pay anything. I can go to the doctor. I don't have a wait. I usually get in. I call in the morning before I want to go, and they say come in an hour or two.
No copay?
No copay. If you have public, I have private insurance here in Germany. If you have public insurance, you pay a 10 euro copay once every 3 months.
So it's basically free.
Yes.
So wait a minute. Private is free and public is a copay?
But I pay my insurance premiums.
I see. Interesting. So that's the German experience. Christina Geyer, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Public insurance, you pay about 14%. With half of the employer and employee contribution, and with private insurance, the insurance company sets a premium for you.
Lynn Udalov is on our line from Moscow. Lynn, for all of the time that you've been out there in Moscow, and you've had enough time to work out, what's the biggest difference between Russian healthcare and American healthcare?
Okay. Well, I guess I'm in a fortunate position. I don't just think of how my little family is cared for, but I also observe the many families of a large corporation here as an expat coordinator. And so I'm often engaged in taking them through a clinic, taking them through what might be an evacuation, putting them on a plane to be repatriated, to go home for surgery, or simply evacuated as quickly as possible to some place that can care for them. I would say that there's two real different levels when you're living in Moscow. If you've come as a student or as a sort of a fellow or something, that you have very little pay, you're probably not going to be given a package with health insurance that would get you into a lovely expatriate clinic. It would probably give you enough money to, with the help of your Russian colleagues, to get to a local clinic and set a leg or something of the like. And then you'd have to be pretty resourceful to get yourself out of the country if necessary.
So there's a two-tier system. There's a two-tier system there in Moscow.
Well, I would say if you have money, if you've come with a large company and you have a nice package that would include a good salary and schooling and health insurance, global health insurance, then you'd be cared for quite well. But you shouldn't confuse a posh clinic that serves you in your language and serves you with pharmaceuticals that you're familiar to a hospital, because oftentimes people think, oh, well, they have a nice desk, they have a nice sort of bedside manner in the small holding area if you're there for a day for observation. But ultimately, they would have to put you into a Russian hospital with more diagnostics and maybe surgical operations. Or you have to make plans quickly to get yourself out of the country.
Amanda Graham, you're in Northern Ireland. Now, at the top of the program, we played one of the ads that have been going around the country in here in the United States, talking about the horrors of the UK health system, that there are death panels that decide whether you can get treatment or not, that the lines that you have to go into are going to be so long that you actually die before you actually get to see your doctor. What can you tell us realistically from experiencing UK healthcare that maybe Americans can learn from?
I'm going to have to say that I think there's just it's a giant misconception that's going around in America right now. When I take a look at the news back at home, I see where they're arguing about government rationed health care and that senior citizens are treated as if their life may not be valued as much in the medical community, which is simply not true. They also have organizations, I think it's called Concern for the Aged, that are also proactive, since this country is very big on human rights. So I haven't seen personally where those claims could possibly be true. My father-in-law is an older man with considerable health issues that it's necessary for his care, so I don't see where any of that's been true. He's been taken care of very adequately for his needs, and more than what we get at home.
Amanda Graham, let me ask you a personal question. Lynn Udalov in Moscow just mentioned that part of her insurance for health care in Russia is a plane out of there if things get really rough. I mean, in principle anyway. Would you consider leaving if things got dire enough with your family, Amanda Graham, there in Northern Ireland?
As far as you mean, for medical needs, if
right,
things got
right,
dire.
Exactly.
If it ever came to that, I can't imagine it would, because part of also addressing that, where they're saying there's such long waits where people die waiting for the NHS. I also see here where, if there is a long wait within the NHS trust hospitals, they do send you to private sector, and they will also pay for your expenses to travel. Like if I had to leave Ireland to see a specialist in England, they would pay to send me there.
Interesting.
Christine. Sorry, Amanda, carry on.
I was going to say, they do work around with their waits, because certain areas with different populations are going to have longer wait times. But if you have an urgent need that definitely needs addressed, a serious condition, they're going to make sure that it's taken care of.
I'm just going to get a few words from all of you as we go around our round table really quickly. It's a quick fire round. Christina Geyer in Bavaria, Germany. Which system do you prefer, U.S. or Germany's?
Oh, Germany by far.
Wow.
Lynn Udalov.
So one for Germany, okay.
Line on the line from Moscow. Moscow or back home here in the United States? Which one do you prefer?
By far, back home in the United States.
All right, that's one for the U.S.
Having a baby in...
Go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, delivering a baby in the U.S. is a far more preferred fashion for myself. My husband described the facilities in Middle America as Star Wars as compared to what they would offer me here. So he would agree as well that we would go home.
And very quickly, Amanda Graham, I think I know the answer. Do you miss healthcare back at home or not?
you know, considering I also worked with it for a while, I think this system here is far better because you don't have the stress about where the money's coming from and being tied down to a job that is because you have the health care through there. I think
great
right here is a
that's,
favorable.
That's two for the foreign and one for the U.S.
Amanda Graham in Northern Ireland, thank you. Lynn Udalov on the line from Moscow, thank you too. And Christina Geyer, Bavaria, Germany. You've lived there since 2002. Thanks for being on our roundtable this morning.